You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 7th of August 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is on its way and that means we have with us today Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, we're just surviving here, Sven, in these ever-increasing clown world times. And it's just, you know, every day it seems to get more and more absurd. I saw a story this morning on the news that here in Texas, the governor is going to allow people to go see their elderly relatives in the nursing home again. Such freedom we have here. But now there are caveats here. You're not going to be allowed to hug anybody or any sort of physical contact. This being mandated by the state. And everybody seems to accept it as normal. It's breathtaking, I'll be honest with you.
Have you seen what's happening over there in Melbourne? I mean, they've got curfews, they've got shutdowns, they're jumping on people for not wearing masks. And I think the number of deaths over there, it's not even into double figures yet. They're talking about a possible increase up to an R number of just under one in Britain. Whether we need another lockdown or not, we don't know. It's absolutely scandalous what's going on with the coronavirus legislation. But of course, the other important issue of the day is Black Lives Matter, and we have a Black Lives Matter centric episode for you today. A new poll suggests 39% of Black Americans are not confident that they would be treated with respect in an encounter by police. The figure compares to just 9% of white people who share the view that they would not be treated favorably during an encounter with law enforcement. And I will just stop there. And I do wonder at what percentage of both Black Americans and white Americans are likely to have criminal records or have been involved with the law before. I have heard that it's something like one in four Black Americans, maybe more than that if they're actually young Black Americans, have actually got criminal records. And obviously it's going to be less for white people. Do you know any more on that, Grandpa? Do you know how many Black Americans are likely to have criminal records or not?
Well, I don't, but I think these numbers are interesting right off the bat because I think it's reflective of two different things. For one thing, I think the 39% number for blacks is reflective of the fact that they're being constantly told that, like, basically police are hunting them down in the street for sport, which, of course, isn't true. Now, also, it just makes sense that the police are going to be more guarded when they deal with them because, if you're the police and you're patrolling a predominantly black neighborhood, that's where a lot of crime happens, a lot of violent crime. And the reality is what it is. If you're a cop patrolling the hood and you pull somebody over, you know, you're more likely that this guy may have a warrant. He may pull a gun on you. He may pull something, shady on you than if you pull over, say, a soccer mom in her SUV in the middle of the suburbs. I mean, that's just common sense. So, of course, the cops are going to be more on guard. Now, as far as the 9% of white people who share that view, I would say the other 91% are horribly naive that they think that the police in every encounter are going to be, necessarily treating them fairly or something such as that. So I kind of see things right through the middle as far as what these numbers mean. I think they're probably, I'm always skeptical of a lot of these polls, surveys, or quote unquote studies. But so far, I think this looks pretty accurate on several levels.
Well, it does seem that black people do seem more likely to resist arrest, and I'm just going off the number of videos I've seen where they are trying to resist arrest. I mean, we've even now seen the body cam footage of the George Floyd, and he was resisting arrest. He was refusing to get into the car. He was refusing to do what the officers were telling him to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if the officer's body cam video does actually get these police officers off this charge of murder. But it apparently it's only been highlighted in British newspapers, and they haven't reported it in that way either. But if you actually watch the video, that is what is going on. If you're going to resist the police when they try to arrest you, then you've got to expect them to try and defend themselves. Well, continuing with this article here, it's not clear whether the black Americans' negative views expressed in the poll are as a result of their own bad experiences or from hearing the experiences of others, many of which have been heavily documented in recent years. Out of the group of black Americans who are not at all confident that the police would treat them with courtesy and respect, 59% want them to spend less time in their neighborhood. So that's 60% of the 40%. So that's about 20% are saying that they want them to spend less time in their neighborhood. Now, I'm not that good at maths, but that seems to say to me that 80% are actually quite happy with them in their neighborhoods, and 80% of them would like them to spend more time in their neighborhoods. So there's just 20% of these black Americans that were polled that would like to see less police in their neighborhoods. And yet we are being told by Black Lives Matter that the police need to be defunded. They need to be completely abolished. And this is the main platform that Black Lives Matter are standing on. So just who is it that Black Lives Matter are representing when they say they want to abolish the police? If 80% of blacks are saying we're quite happy with the number of police we have in our neighborhoods, then who is it that Black Lives Matter are representing? Who is it that is behind them? What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, you can talk to anybody in law enforcement, or maybe that works, say, in a prison system, or like, say, a cop, anybody. And most of these people will tell you it's roughly round about the same 10%. Over and over again, when they arrest people for crimes, it's the same guys over and over. People that work in prisons will tell you they see the same faces come back. It's like, oh, Jamal, you're back again. What for this time? It's roughly the same 10%. So this makes sense, because you can figure roughly 10%. And then you say the other 10% is probably their immediate family who doesn't like their good boys getting locked up for not doing nothing. And really, again, these numbers pretty much, I think, when you look at the big picture, line up with reality. They arrest 10%. This is what makes it so ludicrous when they talk about, well, we need to release all of these nonviolent offenders. Well, it's not that they're not committing violent crimes. It's just that what they were arrested for this time was a nonviolent offense. And oftentimes these things are pleaded down. They arrest them for a bigger charge and, you know, say, I don't know, a convicted felon with a gun, but they don't want to spend the money to go through a court trial. So they let them plead it down to a lesser charge where it looks better. And that gets filed as a nonviolent crime. But again, anybody that works in these in this field will tell you they're arresting what amounts to the same people over and over and over again. And even in the black community, you're seeing that. And so I think it does make sense that you get to this point where the other people in the black community, you know, even though they're being constantly told that the police are hunting them down and shooting them for no good reason, in the back of their minds, they know that if the cops were disbanded and went away out of their neighborhoods, it would be a war zone. You know, and they would be the ones stuck in the middle. They would be the ones at the victim. They want to be able to go outside or go to work or whatever without having somebody shoot them up, without having, you know, be able to have a barbecue without somebody doing a drive by. They don't want that. I mean, they'll buy into some of these narratives. But we saw that several years ago when they were having big riots. I think it was in St. Louis. And the police were like, oh, fine, we'll just quit going to your neighborhood. And then they're on TV screaming, where the police at? It's a war zone out here. So, I mean, they realize there's a certain percentage that realize that, you know, things as bad as they may be in their neighborhoods would be much, much worse if all of a sudden there were no police.
Well, the black lives that are most taken, I think 90% of black homicides, their lives are actually taken by other black Americans, and Black Lives Matter don't seem to make any point about talking about that or about the massive increase that there has been in Chicago recently, the massive increase in murders that has happened since these Black Lives Matter riots. I mean, there's been tens of maybe even over 100 people that have been killed associated with these riots. That it's been black on black crime. There's been black stores that have been looted, black businesses that have been attacked, and yet all they seem to want to go on about is these racist police. So you would imagine that the black community itself would not be happy about this. And this seems to be what this poll is telling us. The survey also revealed that a majority of all other black Americans want the police to spend the same amount of time in the areas where they live, including those who are not too confident about being treated considerately by the police. That is 61% that want the police in their neighborhoods and do not want to see them defunded or abolished. This is including the ones that are not confident that the police are going to treat them well. So these are the ones that have believed the propaganda. Even they still want the police in their neighborhoods. The findings come in a poll by Gallup, which also found that 61% want the police presence in their neighborhoods to remain exactly the same, despite calls to defund and reform policing across the country. The majority of black Americans want to retain their local police force and for officers to spend the same amount of time in their neighborhoods as they currently do. So what is Black Lives Matter on about? What is their goal? It couldn't possibly be that they are just wanting to sow chaos and start a civil war in America for some reason. Could it possibly be that? What do you think of it, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, again, we get down to the nuts and bolts of it here. I mean, we see on the face of it, whenever you go through picture after picture after picture of these so-called protests, and where are the blacks at? It's supposed to be Black Lives Matter, and you see all of these white faces. And then you look at these numbers, and it's like, well, the majority of these blacks actually don't want. Now, the part that they're, you know, they don't think they'll be considered or treated considerately by the police, that's understandable. I mean, again, you look at the fact that the police are going to be more guarded when they pull over people in these neighborhoods. Well, imagine living in one of these neighborhoods and, you know, you're not a criminal. You know, you live in one of these neighborhoods, you're not a criminal, and you're going to work and you get stopped for taillight by the cops, you know, and the cop is guarded. So he walks up to your car with his hand on his gun. You're not going to appreciate that. I mean, regardless of the fact that, you know, we can sit here and talk about it logically and say, well, it makes sense because they feel they're more, you know, likely to be, you know, to face a violent criminal. Still, for you personally, I mean, you're not going to like that. I wouldn't like it. You know, so that's understandable. But again, this gets to the core of the matter. Like you said, who are they representing here? If the black people don't want the police abolished in their neighborhoods, and, you know, so what is this even about? And again, when you look at all these pictures of these so-called protests and all the majority of the faces seem to be white faces. And I think this gets to the heart of the matter, which is that the whole blacks thing with this is an excuse. They're the front, and it serves a two-pronged purpose. For one thing, it gives them their excuse. It gives them their cause. We're doing this for the poor, oppressed blacks, whether they want it or not. But the more, in a way, the more insidious angle of this is, if their little revolution doesn't work out and there's a blowback on it, people's anger will be channeled towards the blacks, and the blacks will bear the brunt of that, and people will blame the blacks when the blacks are really just being used as the excuse here. And I really think a lot of this highlights this, and I just, again, I find it very interesting if you look at the big picture of what's going on here.
Well, especially when you think about the Marxist sympathies of Black Lives Matter and the way that they talk about being trained Marxists. And you think, well, there's this communist aim of sowing chaos and having a revolution and having a Bolshevik revolution. You have to have the chaos first. You have to have the civil war first. And it seems to me that, you know, that's what the aim of this is. And they're using the blacks as their proxy warriors for this. Well, who is the they? Well, we know that George Soros has funneled millions into Black Lives Matter, and he has talked about how he wants to see revolutionary changes. He wants to see social justice. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a large part in this. The Democratic Party in America, they are supporting this, and the the mainstream media are supporting this. We know they have these communist sympathies, but what do they think they're going to put in place after they've destroyed everything? This is the fault with the Marxist worldview, is they don't have anything to put in place. They just want to destroy things. They just want to let out all their anger on the people that they perceive to be their enemies and cause chaos and destruction everywhere. It's not like we haven't had examples of this throughout the world, throughout the last century and before. We know exactly where it ends. I mean, it does seem as if these blacks seem to be more sensible than we would give them credit for, I would suggest. That's what this poll seems to be saying to me. The poll suggests that roughly equal proportions of black Americans would also like the police to spend more time in their area, 20%, as those who would like them to spend less time there. The figures are relatively similar to those in other demographics, with 71% of white Americans and 67% of all US adults wanting to retain the status quo, including 71% of white Americans. And the really amazing thing about this is the way that politicians like Keir Starmer in Britain got down on one knee and pledged his support for Black Lives Matter when all along they've been advocating to abolish the police. That is their main platform, is to defund the police. And yet we've had these politicians that have gone along with this, and it's not even something that the public want. So why are the public supporting them? 71% of white Americans want it to be exactly the same. 20% of blacks actually want there to be more police, and the rest of them want it to say exactly the same. So there is no drive to actually get rid of the police. And yet we've got, I can't recall if she's the governor or the mayor from Seattle, Portland, Seattle. She's on this train. She's talking about wanting to abolish the police. I've heard other American politicians start talking about this. AOC in New York, she's been talking about it. And the Minneapolis Somalian politician, she's been talking about it. And yet there is no support for it. No support at all. So how come these riots and these protests, how come they're still going if there is just no grassroots support for this? Grandpa, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to take the liberty of channeling Dr. Johnson here for a minute and say, if the oligarchy didn't want this to be happening, it wouldn't be happening. You pointed out George Soros, and he's such an easy front man to look at. But also what gets missed, and I've read this, I don't have it in front of me, all of these corporations that have funneled millions and millions of dollars into this so-called movement, Coca-Cola off the top of my head is one, I think Amazon has. I mean, there's all of these corporations that have funneled money into this basically quasi-revolution that's going on. So no, absolutely, if the oligarchy didn't want it to be happening, it wouldn't be happening. So they do want it to be happening, and that is what is that's what's going on here. When you consider, I mean, the way in which, I mean, people on the dissident right, truth tellers such as ourselves, such as this network, you know, that we work so hard to parse our words in a way that can't be misinterpreted, you know, as to any incitement of anything. And then you look at, you have this going on where you have corporations and mega donors funneling millions of dollars into a group that is inciting literal violence, burning, destruction of property. There's been murder take place, assaults. I mean, this is a violent movement when you get down to it. The media can keep repeating, you know, peaceful protesters all they want, but everybody sees the videos, no matter how often they try to pull them back down. So this is not a peaceful movement in the least, and yet it's happening, and nothing's being done to, cut off the money, chop off the organization, those organizing, nothing is being done. And that tells us that the oligarchy wants this to be happening.
It's just incredible, isn't it? You know, we have this incitement to hate over here in Britain. We have an incitement to violence over there in America. And then we have this movement that is just going out there and carrying out violence, ultra violence, murdering people, burning things down, destroying things, tearing down statues. And yet there are no charges placed against these people. They get arrested and then they have to be freed. We've even had the UN step in there saying that protesters should not be arrested, journalists should not be arrested. And I believe that these federal troops, when they arrest these rioters and they put them in prison, they put them in a cell and they just have to be let out again because the prosecutors are not prosecuting them. So we effectively, we have The whole oligarchy. We have these judges in these courts. We have the corporations. We have these NGOs. Basically, the BLM are like an NGO that take their funding from Soros, and they're all pushing for this. And yet, the majority of the people, both white and black, don't want this. Out of the four racial ethnic groups of white, Asian American, Hispanic, and Black Americans, Asian Americans were revealed to be most likely to want less police where they live, with 28% indicating this, compared to 12% of white people, 17% of Hispanics, and 19% of blacks. And I find that really interesting, because Asian Americans are the least likely to commit crimes, aren't they? They when on all the statistics, when you see them, blacks are the most likely to have criminal records, then it's Hispanics, then it's whites, and then it's Asian Americans. They are the least likely to cause crime and cause trouble. And they are also here. They are the ones that say that they are the most likely to actually want less police presence where they live. So it's not that they want less police presence because they want to be left free so that they can commit more crimes, but it's actually because they don't actually commit any crimes. Well, what do you make of these statistics, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're more likely the Asians, which is a pretty broad term, to be honest, but the Asians are more likely to live in a safe neighborhood. And they're like, well, we don't need more police here because I live in a safe neighborhood. Now, again, I think these numbers are really I'm one of the most skeptical people when people start, you know, when it comes to something that's throwing out statistics here. But everything here looks, you know, pretty up and up to me. Asians are more likely to live in a safe neighborhood. So, of course, they're going to be like, yeah, no, we don't need more police here. I live in a safe neighborhood. We don't have very much crime. Likewise, you look at, say, you know, blacks, they live, you know, more likely to live in a crime ridden neighborhood. And they're going to be like, yeah, well, you know, we need the police here. So many of these lefties, I wonder if they even talk to any of these people they claim to represent. And before I get off on that, I just want to point out, because you hit on something really good, we're seeing a color revolution. You know, we've watched this take place in these NGOs pull this in other countries, and it's just, we're shocked to see it going on here. But this is literally the color revolution tactic that's been used time and again in other countries. Only, you know, for a change, we're seeing it here. They're walking around with signs and posters with the communist clenched fist. They're going around. You're seeing all of this. This is color revolution happening here in this country. But no, I wonder if any of these people ever actually talk to, like, black people, because you talk to black people. I've talked to black people, you know, who've been successful and gotten a good job, and they've started making some money, and they will tell you straight up. They'll say, the first thing I did when I started making good money was move to a white neighborhood. And you say, well, why is that? And they'll say, well, because I can leave my car. I've literally had blacks say this. I can leave my car in the driveway and no one will steal my wheels. I can have a barbecue in my backyard and not worry about some idiot showing up and shooting people because they think someone attending the party disrespected them. They'll tell you this. And yet, you know, you see this disconnect by these people who run around trying to claim that they're looking out for the best interest of these folks. And they have no clue of what's even going on. And I think it is, once again, telling and points to the fact that this isn't even about the blacks. This is an excuse. What we're seeing here is a color revolution taking place in this country. It's having a huge amount of money funneled into it by the likes of Soros, all of these corporations. And we can just use the general term, the oligarchs, because that's what it is. If the oligarchs didn't want this, it wouldn't be happening. It would be shut down just like this. And all you have to do is ask, well, if there were dissident right people going out into the streets just holding protests, forget the level of violence that's going on with these things. If they were just going out in the streets and holding protests, we know the amount of crackdown that would happen. And yet this is being allowed to go on, and they just keep wringing their hands going, well, there's nothing we can do because peaceful protest and their rights. But we know what would happen if dissident right people were in the streets having protests.
It's interesting you bring up the color revolution parallel there. I mean, maybe some of our listeners aren't aware of it. The color revolutions, they started, I think, in Ukraine. They had another one in Georgia. This was before the Maidan revolution. They had this, what was called the Orange Revolution, and they set up training camps for revolutionaries. There was this group called Otpor that used this raised fist, and that was then exported during the Arab Spring. And we had this, again, we had another manufactured revolution in Tunisia. There was one in Egypt. There was one in Libya. and then it moved on to one in Syria. And as I say, they had these training camps in the Ukraine at the time. Now they've had this recent manufactured revolution in Syria. There have been lots of Antifa that have been going out there to get training. There are lots of pictures of Antifa out there in Syria fighting against Bashar al-Assad. And there is your connection to this manufactured revolution that is now being exported to America. And it shows you that there are other forces that are behind these rather than just NATO or just America or America and Britain, you know, the usual people that we think of that are behind these wars. The fact that it is happening in America shows you that there are other forces at work, other extremely powerful forces that are above the government in America. Well, to get back to the article here, one question in the survey asked Americans to estimate how often police were in their neighborhood. Black Americans reported seeing police more often than the national average at 32%. The number was lower for white Americans and Asian Americans, with 22% and 21% respectively. Hispanics also report seeing a similar amount of police in the areas where they live to that of black Americans, with 28% seeing police in their neighborhoods. Well, again, this fits with the amount of crime that we see with blacks and Hispanics. There is more crime in the neighborhoods where they are living than there are in the white neighborhoods. So there are more calls to the police, which is why they are there. It wouldn't surprise me if Black Lives Matter tried to use these statistics to say that the police are picking on the blacks. They're being racist on the blacks because they're going to their neighborhoods twice as much as the amount of time that they go into the white Americans' neighborhoods. But the fact of the matter is that there is more crime there. That is the reason for this. What do you make of these statistics, Grandpa?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, the police are going to be where the crime is. Now, some of these may be routine patrols, which, again, makes sense. You know, when a police chief in the city wants to lower the crime statistics, they're going to focus the police force in high crime areas. And we know what those high crime areas are going to be. I guess we're not allowed to point that out. But I mean, we know where the high crime areas are going to be. So, of course, there's going to be more police there. Now, the other side of that is the police are going to be there when they're called. You know, somebody calls police, they dial 911 and say, hey, there's a robbery going on. Hey, these guys are dealing drugs on the street corner. Hey, there's an assault going on in my front yard. You know, well, who's calling the police? Well, it's people who live in that neighborhood. So it's going to be black people are calling the police to come down here and try to restore some sort of order. It's not white people living in the suburbs dialing 911. Hey, I want you to go down into this black neighborhood and harass these people. No, I mean, they're being called there by people that live in the neighborhood. So what are they supposed to do? I'm sorry, you called 911 and want the cops to come down here because there's a violent crime taking place in front of your house, but we can't come because it's a black neighborhood and that would be racist. I mean, how does this make any sense to anybody on any sort of level? Well, I'm sorry, you're black and you live in this neighborhood and you call the police, but we're not showing up because that would be racist. It doesn't make any sense, which just highlights that this is all just an excuse. It's all just a cover. We get down into numbers like these, statistics like these, and it just really highlights the fact that this is an excuse. This is an excuse for their color revolution. It's not anything really about what they're claiming it to be about.
You know, we have similar issues over here in Britain with stop and search. They're always accusing the police of being racist with stop and search because they stop and search a lot more black people than they do whites. But the only reason they're going to stop someone is because they fit a description of a criminal, or if they have a suspicion that they have a weapon on them. And all you have to do is look at the numbers that are actually caught with drugs on them or with weapons on them to see that they were, most of the time, they're quite right to actually stop these people. And if they want to have the crime lowered in their areas, then they should be prepared to be stop and searched. And if they haven't got knives on them, then okay, then, you know, they're free to go. And also, if they didn't have the crime in their areas, then they wouldn't be so much stop and searching, would there? So really, the onus is on them to stop so much crime happening in their area in the first place. And then you wouldn't have this disparity between the numbers. Getting back to the article here, despite reporting seeing police with greater frequency than other demographics, the poll also found that black Americans do not wish to see changes to their local police force. A third say they would like to see cops spend less time close to their homes, although most adults, 56%, believe police should spend the same amount of time, with 10% wanting more police presence. So they're basically saying that they're happy with the police presence that they have, and yet all this time we're being told by the television, we're being told by Black Lives Matter, we're even being told by politicians that are repeating this Black Lives Matter propaganda, that people want the police to be abolished and the police are somehow this racist force. I think we even had Blue Lives Matter protests that have been attacked by Black Lives Matter, people that have actually been standing up for the police and saying, look, you know, they do a dangerous job and we don't want to see less of them. If anything, we would like to see more of them. I mean, over here in Britain, there's a lot of complaints that we never see the Bobby on the beat anymore. And the policemen used to walk around the beat and you just don't get that anymore. And there aren't enough police on the streets. So that is the general feeling from the main population. Not that they should be abolished. It just seems to be some of these black students over here in Britain that are calling for the police to be abolished. Grandpa, have you got any final thoughts on this before we close the show out?
Well, I mean, the thing about stop and search is it's not random. They try to create this narrative that it's random, that the police go around and if they see a black walking down the street, they're going to stop him and search him. And that's just not true. It's back to that 10%. That repeatedly does crime. The cops, 9 times out of 10, they know who these guys are. They look and it's like, oh, Jamal's out of prison this week. And there he is walking down the street. We know if we stop and search him, we're probably going to find a weapon. We're probably going to find drugs in his pocket. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to stop and search Jamal. You know, they see a black man walking down the street in his work uniform, minding his business, going on his way to work. They're going to stop that guy and search him. It's a waste of their time. They don't want to deal with it. I mean, it's not like cops aren't necessarily lazy. I mean, they know who these guys are. If they see a black guy walking down the street and he's obviously wearing his work uniform on his way to the bus stop to ride the bus to go to his job, they're going to hassle that guy. On the flip side of that, if they see Tyrone going down the street and he's wearing his all red Bloods gang uniform with his bandana hanging out of his pockets and his pants sagging, and they recognize him as, oh, that's the guy we arrested 6 months ago for an attempted murder charge, and then they pled it down to just drug possession. I guess he's already out of jail. Let's stop that guy and search him. They know it's the 10%. That's why stop and search worked. It worked when they did it in New York City, because they came up and they said, how can we get the crime rate down? And the cops were like, well, it's the same people we're arresting over and over. And when we see them on the street, we know they're doing crime. It's the same guys. And it's like, so if we can stop and search these guys, we know they're going to have something on them and we can get them off the streets. About getting that 10% off the streets, ironically, so that the other people in the black community can live in peace and have a little bit of tranquility and a bit of a normal life without having somebody go by and a stray bullet come through their house and shoot their kid that's laying on the couch. But again, none of that matters, because it's all just an excuse for their little color revolution. And it's just, if it wasn't the blacks, they'd have another excuse.
That's something that seems to be happening very, very with a lot of frequency, actually, is just innocent black kids getting shot by stray bullets, places like Chicago. I can't actually recall the number of times I've seen that happen just over the last couple of weeks in the news reports. Well, I really would like to see the results of this poll getting more traction in the news, because it is important news that the public are not being told about. In actual fact, the 80% of America's public are quite happy with the police, and they don't actually want them to be abolished. They would like them to stay around just in the same numbers that they are in now. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.